Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome to A Call to Greatness with host, spiritual counselor, psychic, and energy management trainer, Victoria Post. In this hour, Victoria and her guest explore our individual and collective calls to greatness and support you in finding the courage and resources you need to follow through. Can you hear it? Your greatness is calling. Now here's your host, Victoria Post.
And welcome once again to A Call to Greatness. It is your call. It is our call. This is the show where we explore the individual and collective call to greatness that is so poignantly happening today in our collective. On today's show, I will actually be turning the tables a bit. I will be the guest, and we will be looking at my philosophy, my work. I'll have a chance to talk to you a little about what inspires me in my life, and actually how I've kind of wound up doing this show and my own particular path in and out of, actually, my own greatness. And but before we do that, I'd like to begin with another dedication. And this week, there was a study in the news that suggested that people today are more isolated than ever, that people today have fewer close friends. And as today I am being interviewed by a very dear friend of mine, I would like to encourage you through this show and in your activities today to honor those who are closest to you. So taking just a moment now to focus on them, in this little reflection, just remembering those friends, those family, those people who have supported you in finding your own greatness, who've reminded you of your own greatness when times got a little tougher, when you forgot. Allow yourself to remember them, to bless them, and to honor them today in whatever way is appropriate. And in honoring them, I offer this prayer that I use to help me recenter, refocus, and remember who I am. It comes from Dag Hammarskjöld, who was the first UN Secretary General. For all that has been, thank you. For all that is, yes. For all that will be, welcome. For all that has been, thank you. For everything in your life, the tough times, the good times, everything you've experienced, thank you. For all that is, everything that's moving through you, that's happening around you, whether you like it or not, yes. For all that will be, that is coming to us, that is coming to you, welcome. For all that has been, thank you. For all that is, yes. For all that will be, welcome. And with that, I'd like to welcome today's guest host. She is Sandra Bellingham. She is a very, very dear friend and colleague of mine. We've traveled many a mile together, and I recently had the pleasure of traveling to Montana, where she resides, to conduct a workshop there. We've shared trials and tribulations and joys and walked mystery school paths together and know each other well. And I've invited Sandra to come on today and actually interview me. And Sandra is herself, she is the founder of the One River Institute in Montana. She is an associate with the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. She leads workshops in her own right. She leads workshops in authentic movement, the sacred wheel, and is also an affiliate teacher with the Medicine for the Earth teachers. And got her own interesting retreats coming up. And Sandra, I'd like to welcome you very much, and also just let listeners know we might just refer to each other as Sandy and Vicky, and it's all part of Sandra and Victoria. So, Sandy, welcome very much. Thank you so much for being part of this show, and it's my absolute pleasure to turn the mic over to you.
Well, it is an honor to be here, Vicky, and I am delighted to be able to facilitate letting people out there in computer land know a little bit more about you. You who have inspired me for many a year, and I know will inspire people throughout this program. So I'd like to begin by begin at the beginning and really ask you to talk a little bit about what is the Vicky Spin?
To begin at the beginning, that's always hard. When things are a circle, where is the beginning, where is the end? The Vicky Spin, how it got named is one thing. It's been my philosophy, as far as I know, from as far back as I can remember, which is actually quite far. How it got named was actually a funny story. I was in a couples workshop with my husband, and we were asked to hug each other heart to heart. And my husband had his glasses in his pocket, and so when we hugged, his glasses were in the way, and he kind of stopped in the middle of the hug and said, "Oh, God, my glasses are in the way." And I just paused and said, "Well, no, really, this way, when you put your glasses on, you know, they've been next to my heart, and you can look through them and you can see me." So when we shared that story in the workshop, the conductor said, "Now that's the Vicky Spin." And it kind of got labeled that. But it came out of those times. I had one of those typical childhoods in, you know, dysfunctional families. And there were a lot of things that were off in my reality. There were times being blind. I was teased a lot in school. There were all kinds of crazy, chaotic things happening at home. And I knew that I would kind of drown if I really focused on that reality and how much it hurt. And so out of that, I would start looking for something else that looked real to me, but that was also in that reality. It was my way initially of making something better. So, you know, when my father was being my father, and my sister would say something like, you know, men are, you know, I'm never going to get married if this is what it is. And I would right away go to, no, not all men are like that. So the point of the Vicky Spin, and we'll talk about this probably a lot, is that it's not about denying reality. You have to look at reality, but it's also about seeing that there's more to it. And it, I've had a lifetime of practice, and it's really serving me well, particularly with some of the physical challenges I've had and some of the emotional challenges. And it serves me in my work, allowing me to look at a client's reality and then also see what else they might focus on, how they might look at their reality.
Mm-hmm. It's a little bit like, is the glass half empty or is the glass half full?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same reality.
Right.
But it's how you view it that
mm-hmm.
makes all the difference.
Yes. And it's also not saying the glass is completely full if it really is half full.
Mm-hmm.
That really is an important part of it. Saying, I'm here, I'm in reality, I'm not going to deny pain, I'm not going to deny difficulty, but it really is, there is a way that I could say, oh, for instance, I had a client whose boyfriend committed suicide in her garage. This is kind of an extreme example, but you'll get the idea. And when we talked, of course, it was very upsetting to her that it happened right there in her garage, and because she wouldn't let him in the house. And so what I was able to point out, just because of my way of looking at things, was it was the only way he could actually let her go. That he loved her enough that he knew, even though she wasn't letting him in the house, he couldn't leave, and that was the only way that he could. And I could feel her sense of relief at that.
Well, I know that in Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning, he talks about logotherapy, which is a similar thing to the Vicky spin. It is looking at what is and finding meaning and purpose, choosing meaning and purpose in it. And he described a man who was elderly, who had lost his wife, and who was so profoundly grieving for her that he didn't know how to go on.
Right.
And Viktor said, well, what would it have been like had you died first and your wife been left? And he said, oh, she would have suffered terribly. And so Viktor Frankl said, well, how good then that you can save her this suffering.
Right.
And the man was absolutely content with that.
Exactly. Exactly. I had a tumor called an acoustic neuroma, which I've had two, and the first time I lost the hearing in one ear and the balance nerve, and the second time I lost the facial nerve. And I remember coming out of surgery and still being a little drugged, and I remember immediately having the thought, you know, now my face really is a reflection of the face of God. On one side I have movement and change and expression, and on the other side my face can reflect the constancy of God's presence. And it really did allow me to have a different relationship with what was happening. You know, but it's my practice, because I have a practice of looking for something. It sort of comes unbidden now. It's automatic. It's really, really automatic.
Well, we'll be back to that in just a few minutes after this break.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, SpiritAlive.com. Victoria Post at SpiritAlive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
Welcome back. This is Sandra Bellingham, guest host of Call to Greatness, having the honor of interviewing Victoria, doing a reverse seat thing. So, Victoria, we were just speaking about the choices in life that we have to choose what you are calling the Vicky spin, to choose to see a situation that can't be changed, not deny it, but nonetheless choose to find what is meaningful and worthwhile in it.
Yeah, you know, once again, the idea is that way it actually gives you more options. And sometimes one of the things I often suggest to clients, if you're in a situation where it looks hopeless or you are despairing of any change or you feel stuck and you just can't see your way out, that's when you go to the old, okay, let me sit down and write 20 different ways of looking at this situation. That when it isn't automatic, you have to train yourself that way. So sometimes you might have to sit and write or come up with other ways of looking at it, no matter how outrageous it is. Because ultimately, when I ask myself, is it real? Do I really have the face of God? Or, you know, did somebody really love me that much? I don't always know, but it serves me. Mm-hmm. It serves me to look at it that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a caller named Karen, and let's take her question now, or her call.
Welcome, Karen.
Hello, Vicki. Hello, Sandy. This is the Karen that you know. I'm just calling to tell you how much to honor two of my friends, to tell you how much I appreciate this show. Both last week's show and this week's show have been point on to the issues that are always up in my life. And I just want to thank you for doing it.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you also for honoring the friendship that we have. We've also done a fair amount of work together.
Yes,
and so thank you so much for bringing that energy through and helping move the energy of the show.
Yeah, just for both of you, it's just a joy to have this available to us in this technology. So thanks and good luck.
Thank
Much
you.
Love.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Thank you, Karen. The joys of radio, being able to reach out to friends and honor friends even when they're at a distance. Even when they're at a distance.
Well, one of the things that I always am aware of when working with you, Vicki, is the sort of choice between or the different view between destiny, what is destiny, or what is the hand that life has dealt, and what is choice, and how do we even know, as you were saying just before, is this the face of God that you had described, one side being in movement, one side being God's stillness?
Mm-hmm.
It serves in order to have that view. But I just wonder if you could talk a little bit about destiny versus choice and how we work with that in our own lives.
Well, there are as many ways to work with that as there are philosophies about it. My particular philosophy is I was born premature and got too much oxygen, and so as far back as I can remember, I've been blind. Okay, that's not something that I consciously chose. That's not, it's a hand that life dealt me, if you will. Mm-hmm. Now, on a cosmic level, one can easily argue that I had something to do with choosing that. But at the sort of face value, that's a hand that life dealt me. My choice is in how I respond to it, how I use that blindness, whether I use it as a teaching, as a way to teach people, and some days I really, you know, some days it's easier to be in educational roles than others. I've also used it as a way of challenging myself. Okay, what can I do? I drove my mother crazy as a kid. Oh, let me do it myself. To find out where the edge is. And that's been how I've really dealt with the choice factor. Wait, I have a choice to try things. I have a choice to find out what limitations are real, which ones are not. I have a choice to sit and take the easy way out. And some days, believe me, I choose that way. Destiny is also that sense of moving toward something. When I decided to do this show, I was reminded of a therapy session that I had where a teacher of mine said to me at one point, you know, there's true greatness in you. And when she said it, I knew that there was a calling in me to do more than sit in the corner, to do more than get a you know, receptionist job and go home and eat and sleep and not reach out to people. It's like I knew I was called to something. And when she said that, she said, there's true greatness in you. I have found myself since then asking all the time, okay, in this situation, how would you behave if that were true? How would you behave if there were real greatness in you? And that's helped expand my choices in life, that I have a choice to react, that I have a choice to get upset, that I have a choice to be emotional, or I have a choice to feel sorry for myself. And I'm a big fan of pity parties. I'm a big fan of timed pity parties. I will sometimes take maybe 10 minutes and feel good and sorry for myself. Oh, my God, nobody understands me. And let myself actually go full on into that experience of, you know, what life has handed me and what I'm dealing with, but it's timed. So at the end of that 10 minutes, I'll do something like go brush my teeth or go flush the toilet or do something that says, okay, over now. And it allows me, again, I keep coming back to that, to not deny the reality that sometimes it's really rough, you know? It's really difficult. And there's more to it than that. So,
well, it sounds a little bit, excuse me for interrupting, but it sounds a little bit that as you say, if there's more to it than that, that you're constantly aware of the spiritual relationship in all that you do, that yes, it can look like you're blind and you have limitations, but to put it in the context of a full life in which things mean more than what is on the surface. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what it's been like to be a person who not only embodies spirituality, but helps others learn to embody their own spirituality.
Well, for me, the idea of embodying spirituality is so important. That's actually why I think I'm here, to take that connection to spirit and bring it into the body, bring it into those soul-stirring moments that we couldn't have if we were just a spirit. Just think, if you were only a spirit and you weren't embodied, you couldn't be stirred to the depths of your soul by music or movies. I watched the tail end of a movie last night. What was it called? Something, The Garden State. And there was this character in the movie who decided to get off of his meds and feel things, and he was talking about how this is it, this is life, this is all we have. And I noticed I was just moved practically to tears at the triumph of human spirits and the triumph of animal spirits over all kinds of things. And in a way, that's hard to do when you're not in a body, because you're simply seeing the whole big picture, and you're simply as a spirit seeing all that is. But when you bring the two together, it's just, it's exquisite. And how that works then with clients is, I really believe part of my gift is actually helping people take on life. Not just live it, but actually guide them to discover who they are, where their own greatness is, where they need a little extra support, how to be with the parts of themselves that they love and the parts of themselves that they don't like so well. And in that vein, as you bring spiritual principles, as you bring whatever your own unique spirit is into your body, then the rest of us get the benefit of it too. I watch people by the end of a session and their energy glows. Their energy radiates out. And I feel like I've gotten paid half the time just sitting with them because of how they radiate. And that can only happen when you embody the greatness of your own spirit, the greatness of who you are and your own choices and how you're going to embody spirit. I mean, that's what allows people to be healers in the world. It's what allows people to make a difference by their very presence. I had a super shuttle driver one time who was just so radiant and so grounded. I really felt as though I was in the presence of God, and God drove me to the airport. Mm-hmm. And that stayed with me all day, and that's how anyone can actually be a real healer, whatever your job is or whatever you're doing in life.
Well, what is the pathway to that kind of radiance? What do you teach?
There are a number of pathways. There are some tools and techniques. Breath is the simplest pathway.
Let's take a little break now, and we'll get back to the details of this pathway.
Sure, and just breathe your spirit into yourself during the break.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, SpiritAlive.com. Victoria Post at SpiritAlive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real and down to earth.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
Welcome back. Here is Sandy Bellingham, guest host of Victoria Post, who is right here in the middle of speaking to us about what the pathway for embodying spirituality in our lives is about.
So, thank you, Sandy. And what I was saying was the simplest pathway is through breath, taking a breath and breathing in your spirit. Imagine as you breathe in, as you inhale, you can even do this with me, as you inhale, breathing in your own spirit, letting it fill your body, also letting it surround you. And as you exhale, imagine that spirit then radiating out. And as I imagine my own spirit radiating out, I also imagine turning up my light. I imagine there's a volume switch somewhere around my solar plexus, and just turn it up a little bit so that it radiates a little bit more. But making that more concrete, you know, if you're having a day when you don't feel good about yourself, you're hating who you are, sometimes finding a way to reconnect to love, love of something. Bernie Siegel, who was famous for his support groups, often said, if you're feeling burnt out, disconnected, fatigued, unhappy, what you need is not rest. It's actually connecting to something you love. So it can be something, someone, even sometimes an abstract. If you have trouble finding it, go out and let the sun shine on you. You know, the sun doesn't care what you do, what you did, who you are, who you aren't. It's going to shine on you. If it's raining, it's going to rain on you. And that in itself is an expression of love, that love is going to be there no matter what. It's going to sometimes say things that are difficult. It's going to sometimes say things that are hard to hear. And so it's what I offer in my work is holding deep love for each person and helping that person to find a way to loving themselves. I had a client who, she's Native American, and actually she's a mix, and she was spending most of her time with white people and kind of resisting the Native groups and not wanting to identify them. And we did a lot of work together, because I said, I know, I went through that. I resisted hanging out with a lot of blind people for a long time. Now I'm going to hang out with sighted people. But once she could actually learn to love the Native part of herself, she's completely switched jobs. She's actually doing some work around healthcare in the community of Native people where she lives, and is kind of finding her way to be with both worlds. And love is the only thing that can really do that.
Well, I know that you spoke earlier in the program about the airport shuttle driver who sort of was beaming love just by his or her very presence. But I think that, so there's a double thing. We can be the change we want to see, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
We can be love in the grocery store line.
Right.
We can be love wherever we are. But I also want people to know a little bit about some of the places you've taken your love out into the world, because I find it so inspiring and so amazing. So I'm wondering if you talk a little bit about Nicaragua, or would you talk a little bit about the fact that you've climbed Mount Shasta twice? Details of your life that are,
well,
you know, pretty amazing.
Well, there's something in my life, it's almost hard to name, that calls me out. It calls me to the edge, whatever that edge looks like. And I often get there and kind of go, how'd I get there? I was called, actually, initially, I loved language and music, and as a kid did a lot of music. And then I wanted to go to interpreting school in Geneva, in Switzerland, and I actually had to work for 2 years to get into that school. And while I was there, ended up changing some laws in Switzerland around guide dogs, to allow guide dogs in stores and places like that. Mm-hmm. And so that experience in Switzerland gave me a hunger to work internationally. And it happened through some of my work. I had an opportunity to go to Nicaragua to attend a couple of different spiritual retreats, which I wound up helping to co-lead, with a dear friend of mine, a Franciscan sister, and we would do some circle dances, and I would bring in some sound, and working with a group in Nicaragua, kind of like a non-governmental organization that works with a lot of poor people. So it gave me an opportunity to use my language skills and also to work with a lot of people who were still recovering from poverty, a lot of people who were working with very poor people. And it's very, I don't know, it's very inspiring to me to put myself in situations that I don't normally live in, like going to Nicaragua and traveling and just being with people in different cultures. And I've spent some time with a group of blind people in Nicaragua who don't have anything like what we have here in the United States. So I was able to actually help motivate them and help them understand what they needed to do to be proactive to make their lives better using the little resources they had. And when I was in Geneva, I had a really good friend who just, she was crazy, and decided one day, hey, let's go see if you can cross-country ski, and started me on a path of cross-country skiing and hiking. And what I love is, I love partnership. And so there's something about partnering with the mountains and with the earth, and I love mountains. And a good friend and I, we were doing a cross-country ski race and reading John Krakauer's Into Thin Air, and I said, oh, gee, I've never really actually stood on top of a mountain. And he said, oh, we should do that someday. And it was as if this call came up from in myself. How about Mount Shasta? So he said, okay, you're not starting small. Mount Shasta, for those of you who don't know, is 14,265 feet high. And I had no idea what was possible, but we decided to find out, and I went through everything imaginable, through the struggles of getting ready to go and putting our little team together. And while I was there, it was like, oh my gosh, I'd never been on anything so steep in my life. And I had moments where I was exhilarated. I had moments where I hit a wall and wondered why we ever agreed to do this. And I absolutely love that mountain. I just absolutely love that mountain. And hope to get back there. The mountain has its own it has its own timing, and when we were there, of course, the wind kicked up to 70 miles an hour, and we got in a wonderful blizzard with lightning and hail and thunder. And what was so extraordinary to me was the partnership. My friend was guiding me. He had to speak constantly, a little left, a little right, a little higher step. In fact, the first time we climbed, he got his tongue sunburned. but what I learned so much from that mountain that has served me well. Things like if I would take a tentative step because I wasn't sure if I was stepping far enough to the left or the right, I would slip back and actually lose ground. Whereas if I would take a really committed step and just plant that crampon firmly in the snow, and I would be slightly off, he would say, great, and little to the left. And I was actually in a position to course correct. Mm-hmm. And that's been a lesson that really stayed with me. Better to take a committed, solid step and be a little off than to take a tentative one and fall backwards and lose ground and have to work that much harder to get back to where you're supposed to be. So that's my lesson from Mount Shasta.
And the way that it sounds like as you're describing your work in Nicaragua, it's very similar to your work with clients, in that you sort of look at what it is that they can do to change where they are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what's needed? What is it that I can bring? What language does it need to be in? And I do that even in English. Is the person, you know, is the person very religious? Is the person auditory or visual? What language does this need to be in? Mm. You know, I love the challenge. I love the challenge of finding different ways of doing things. And I gain so much from other cultures and being in other places and seeing how other people do things and just being touched by different people. It means a great deal to me. So it's always a two-way street, not only what I have to offer, but what comes back to me as well.
That sounds like your relationship with clients is really personal.
Most of where I start in my life tends to be personal. And so it's personal in that moment we are partners and we are working together and we are connected. It's not always personal in the sense that, okay, we've now become the best of friends. But in that moment, I use that personal side of myself to actually help me connect with people and be with them where they are. The impersonal is also a very important aspect of my work. If I were completely personal, I couldn't help.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll get back to that in just a few moments.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Can you stay present and centered even when everything around you is completely out of control? Can you find joy, meaning, and peace even when life seems to be falling apart? Can you love yourself even when your inner critic is right? The soul journey is filled with complexities that will take you from adversity to ecstasy through power and vulnerability, from magical moments of connection into deep states of loneliness, from life to death and back again. With all the twists and turns, it's no wonder that we all sometimes have to ask for directions. Victoria Post, licensed minister, clairvoyant, and spiritual counselor, can help you keep your spirit alive while surrendering to your soul's journey. Victoria's mastery is in her ability to communicate information and apply practical and powerful tools to all life situations. She has honed her natural skills through clairvoyant training and years of personal work with Temenos and the Naos Foundation School of Sacred Studies. Clients say she has a healing and calming presence, provides focus and great clarity, and gives them permission to be who they are and make their own choices in life. Victoria offers individual counseling sessions and conducts classes in voice dialogue and other energy work. Additional services include public speaking, officiating for weddings, and other rituals and ceremonies, voice coaching, and customized songs for special occasions. When you're looking for support and guidance provided with absolute integrity, whether you need to appreciate the place you've landed or find the next path to follow, call Victoria Post at 415-928-2711, extension 2, or visit her website, SpiritAlive.com. Victoria Post at SpiritAlive.com. Naturally compassionate, innately spiritual, real, and down to earth.
Adding fractions is nothing.
For real?
Look, these are denominators. You multiply this one so that it's the same as that, then you add them up.
Man, that's easy.
Charles Bennett dreamed of returning to the old neighborhood as a teacher, but without money for college, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A message from the UNCF and the Ad Council.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Welcome back to A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post. If you have a question or comment, call us toll-free at 866-472-5794. Now back to the program. Here's Victoria.
Welcome back, and here's Sandy Bellingham, guest host, interviewing Victoria Post on today's show. We've just been talking, Vicki, about your use of the personal and the impersonal in your work with clients, and I just wanted to share a little bit, if you don't mind, about this most recent workshop when you were here in Montana. I was really profoundly inspired by watching how you bring this incredible energy and vitality that your body embodies with this joy and love and humor. And it was very much like taking all of the, like a giant Santa Claus bag of gifts that you have as life experience that at least sort of blew all the rest of us out of the water who were there, because, you know, you just, your life is unique, I believe, in the many ways in which you have been challenged to deal with blindness and paralysis and then let none of it slow you down as you climb 14,000 feet mountains. So what was profound to me was how you took these personal adventures and came fully forward with the ability to make fun of yourself and show where all the foibles were and what you learned from those foibles, and then give us the tools to deal with our own daily lives and to laugh at ourselves while just kind of picking ourselves up off the ground, dusting our knees off and going on. It's a great gift you have.
Well, thank you. And, you know, that's what makes comedians successful. You know, that they have that ability to laugh at themselves and say something so funny that, you know, you match it. Most of us, what we do when we're around energy is we match it. And so if I can hold that place of loving myself, if I can hold that place of learning from my own mistakes and, oh gosh, I wish I could have handled that better than I did, or, you know, something that worked, or if I can use humor in a way that doesn't deflect or degrade me, but actually serves to lighten me and bring more joy, then that's what people around me can match. If I, on the other hand, get upset, get worried, get nervous, get, you know, critical and nitpicky, then that's what people around me are going to match. And it works that way with all of us. And so it is one way to have impact on the world around us. And it's just something I figured out when I was a kid, that I had something to do with how people were treating me. Not everything, but something. But something.
Is this what energy management is about?
Well, that is a lot of what energy management is about. And I had one time I was in Norway, I was in line for a cross-country ski race that was happening in Norway, and I made the comment that, gee, I was really kind of nervous about this race, and somebody said, hey, don't you teach energy management training? I was like, yeah. But energy management is just like money management. You have a certain amount of it, and you invest it, and then you watch and see what the returns are, and if you don't like the returns, you sell off that investment. So what I offer are different tools to help people learn how to take care of the energy that they have, how to deposit it, how to build a surplus, how to reroute it if you don't like the, you know, what's happening. So that's really what energy management is, am I matching what's around me? Am I guiding what other people are doing? Am I taking care of my own energy? So replenishing it. You know, pay attention today as you go through your day. Are you doing things that replenish your energy? I recommend doing at least 3 things that replenish you every single day. They don't have to be big, but they do have to replenish you. I play guitar a lot to replenish me. Naps are a good way to do it. And so it's a way of thinking, okay, I have energy, how do I take care of it?
Well, one of the things that I think we all suffer from is exhaustion. Our culture is racing at such an incredible pace, mm-hmm. and we tend to constrict ourselves, to brace ourselves for what's ahead, rather than open.
Right. It's like Shasta taught me, open, relax into the uphill, relax into the thin air, because if you tighten against it, then you don't have access to your own resource to get you through it. And so underneath the exhaustion is actually a wellspring of energy. You just have to get there.
Yes. Well, I think that your comment on playing guitar not all of us are musicians, but we can all sing and dance. Mm-hmm. Nobody's looking. And
yeah.
Just moving our bodies in with a sense of abandonment,
yes,
is another thing I love.
Absolutely.
About being with you.
And there are, I have a whole section on my website with a lot of different tools and tips and ways that you can consider replenishing your energy, what to do if you get stuck. There's actually quite a wealth of information on that page that people can check out any time.
That's on spiritalive.com?
Yes, spiritalive.com, absolutely. And or you can certainly feel free to call me. We can set up a session and actually take a look at how you are using your energy and how you are managing it. So that's another way to go with it.
Great.
And as we wrap up, I'd really like to thank you, Sandy, for taking the time and the energy to do this interview and to bring your energy to this show. I really appreciate it. And I also want to encourage people to check out some of Sandy's work alongside mine. And Sandy is offering a shamanic retreat in September with shamanic practitioner Philip Heron and Tyler Medicine Horse, who is a, as Sandy put it, who's the real deal. Actually, a medicine man, what was he called? A Sundance?
Sundance chief.
That's right.
Shayoka.
That's right. And so if you want more information about Sandy's work, you can feel free to email her at sandybzn@bresnan.net. That's BRESNAN.net.
And it's Sandy with a Y.
Sandy with a Y. Yeah, that's right. I'm Vicki with an I. She's Sandy with a Y. And as we, you know, as you look at going through this day, I encourage you to practice looking for anything sacred in what's going on in your life. Look for what is being called up from inside of you. Look for what quality, what greatness is in you that gives you the capacity to respond in your life. People always talk about fulfilling their potential. Potential is way off out in the future. Capacity is something that you have now. So really, I encourage you as kind of a way of stepping into the Vicki spin to find out what your capacity is now, and your capacity will grow as you do. An old saying that I learned from the Franciscans, God does not call the qualified. God qualifies the called. So you are all called to something. That something might simply be stepping out in the world and sharing joy. That something might be helping your family in a particular way. That something might be simply your own self-discovery. Calls, as we talked about last week, come in all different forms. And so I want to really encourage everyone as we come toward the end of the show to open to whatever it is that's calling you. How I got up Mount Shasta is by listening to a call. How I got to Nicaragua, by listening to a call. You know, yes, it came in the form of an invitation, but I had to listen to the call. So, for all that has been, thank you. For all that is, yes. For all that will be, welcome. And I invite you to join me again next week for another call to greatness right here on the Seventh Wave Network. Be well, take care of yourselves and each other. Love and blessings. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to A Call to Greatness. To contact Victoria, visit spiritalive.com. Tune in next Wednesday for another profound hour on A Call to Greatness with Victoria Post.